should do it. But that's what we get paid for. But the going back to the first expression, which I believe was 1960, just before the election, was that the minority opinion of Smith that you were referring to? And George Edwards wrote to the judge.
Well, George wrote a separate opinion in support of the majority view. And caught wholly unshirted hell from his former colleagues on the UAW for it. And as a matter of fact, I remember vividly George had been invited, as I had been, to attend the UAW convention in Grand Rapids the day of our decision in the Shoal case. And I talked George into joining anyway because he knew he would be vilified. And my argument was better now than 3 months from now, and it would be even more difficult for you to face these people. Face them. You have nothing to apologize for. You called it the way you saw it. And you performed as your oath required you to. If they don't understand that, then there's nothing you can do to alter their attitude. Well, he was mistreated terribly. When he walked into the lobby of the hotel, people shunned him, openly scorned him, and greeted me effusively. Well, of course, you know, that was very embarrassing, very troublesome to me. But it was that night that I had a conversation with Gus Shore. And Gus was very upset, not because of George's vote against the position he was advocating in that case, but rather because George, who had been like a brother to Gus Shore, had not told him in advance what he was going to do. So I said, Gus, and it was very important for me to have the opportunity to do so, Gus, you know, you're about to consider an endorsement of me. And I want you to know up front, you can't expect that from me any more than you could expect it from George. And it was coincidence that it should. The sequence of events occurred as they did, but it was very important to me to make sure that he understood what my role as a justice would be, totally independent from the people who were supporting my candidacy. I couldn't live with myself if I hadn't confidence in my own independence, and I needed to be able to express that to him before the fact, not after.
Really, in essence, the nub of what George Edwards wrote is, I remember, was, look, this may be a 14th Amendment question, but we don't know yet, and it's being resolved.
It will be resolved.
Yeah.
In Washington.
Yeah. Wasn't that about what he said?
Yeah. That's precisely what he said. He relied on Frankfurter's political thicket warning. A legitimate position to take, but I thought misguided. And in view of the fact that we were dealing with our Michigan Constitution as well as the federal Constitution, the concepts were the same. We were still obliged to apply Michigan law and federal law. The fact that the federal Supreme Court hadn't yet spoken didn't mean that we didn't have the obligation to speak. We did.
You know, there's one thing I guess I can't help but bring up. One event in the court here. This gets back to Dean Black. If you remember the county apportionment cases in Kent and Muskegon counties,
yes.
Do you remember play by play what happened in there? Well, the court on, let's say it was Wednesday or Tuesday of the week, filed his opinion in the clerk's office. One of them was 4-4 and the other was 4-3 with June Black hanging off. The result was, and he apparently somewhere in the notation in the case, or footnote, somewhere, if I didn't do this, it would be the most ludicrous thing on the face of the earth that you can imagine. A judicial body the same day found adjoining counties contradictory answers to the same question. And then the next day, he came into the clerk's office and went to the opinion copy and put his name on it, where he had come off before. He